Friday Night Wine Fight contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome to the first A&B edition of Friday Night Wine Fights.
I'm Amy.
I'm Bianca. We decided to give podcasting a crack in the middle of Melbourne's many lockdowns way back in 2020. We are usually joined by our lovely co-host, Sarah. However, the bitch has taken a break or a hiatus. I don't know. She'll be back, though. If she isn't, fucking right in, hey? Look, we wish her all the health and happiness. And we love you, bitch.
And she thinks she's getting rid of us that easy.
Yeah. That's amateur. Fucking right. I know. We're still going to fucking call her.
Still going to harass the shit out of her.
So, yes. Anyway, Amy and I, we're powering on. Yeah. We're continuing to fuel this tangent train. So, strap yourselves in. But first, what are we drinking?
It's hot, y'all. Yeah, it's hot in Melbourne. It's hot. So I am drinking our Palazzo Rosé for delicious reasons from my Wine Pyramids game. Yeah.
Yeah, you're smart. You're much smarter than me. I don't have any cold wines. I've got reds. All I'm left with is reds and random reds that aren't from the Wine Pyramids game. So tonight I'm drinking Cape Shank Mornington Peninsula Represent, y'all. And it is a Pinot Noir. It's so it's a bit lighter in than other reds, but still, I'm sweating balls over here. Oh, yep. So, Amy, let's crack on. What's our topic for tonight?
Look, our topic tonight is actually named Current Events, because they're current and they're events. Yeah. I don't know what more background that you need other than their current and their events. Yeah. So we will be talking about what is happening at this point in time around the world. And there's a bit. There's a bit happening.
There's a lot. Yeah.
So, Bianca, I'm going to throw to you first and see what little tidbits you have for us about what is currently going on around the world.
Current event. Bianca's got her tits out. No. Yeah. So, put them back in there. Oh, no, I shouldn't. It's hot. Sweaty. Yeah, look, it really has been a lot. I'm just going to preface this whole show with, I was tasked with doing Queensland floods, but the current situation, there's so much evolving that I just went, oh gosh, I could say how many lives have been lost. And like, I looked at some buildings that have been damaged, you know, like museums even. It's just crazy. This one museum moved everything to the second floor. Nothing was saved. $1 million handmade cabinet gone.
Wow.
Yeah. They petitioned. They got one point, the Lisbon, I can't remember what it's called. It's some sort of museum in Lisbon. But the guy who built it was from there. So they actually had to raise 1.4 to get this bloody cabinet to be in his hometown, and it's gone.
Oh.
And that's not a big place. Like, if nobody really. Most of us is from America. They don't really know where that is, but it's a small town.
I'll Google it. It's currently underwater. So, yeah. It's not good.
And the rain's moving downwards from the state of Queensland into New South Wales. And now that's underwater. Schools are getting closed.
I checked with a friend of ours that we both know, just to see, and because often these
walking
things
with
happen.
A snorkel?
Well, yeah, that's what I. Yeah, that's been our running joke for the last couple of years. When the rains come, is so sleeping with a snorkel on, and then we both laugh. It's not funny. It really isn't. Yeah. And I sent him a message to say, "Hey, you okay? Just checking in." And he's like, "Nah, not really. We've actually been trapped at home because of flood water since Wednesday." Yeah. But I know full well that him and his beautiful partner are okay because they keep liking our Instagram posts. So
yes, they do.
They're alive, so I know they're alive. It's fine.
Unless they are wizards. They could have set up some sort of automation.
It's entirely possible knowing this particular friend. However, I'm just banking on the fact that I haven't heard back from him on the basis that he's got other things on his mind.
Yeah.
And, yeah, look, you know who you are. If you are listening to this, we love you and we hope that you're safe.
Absolutely. Mwah. Yes. So I didn't I'm not doing anything on them. There's just too much that's happening. And yeah, there's still more to come. There's more rain coming. Two-thirds so far of a year's worth of rain.
Yeah.
It's rough. So I'm going to maybe the next time we do this topic and hopefully it'll all be over and everyone is safe and everything's dry, I'll run through it and find all the information on it.
Do a wash-up, as you may say.
Yeah.
After a flood. Just a wash-up of it.
Just get the hairdryer and just blow this out. Yeah. So I'm going to actually start with a fun story.
Good, because mine's heavy as fuck.
Yeah, yours is. Yeah. Yeah, my fun story is involving the Catholic Church. Yeah, I know. If someone opened with that to me, I'd be in disbelief too. So this story actually takes place in Phoenix, Arizona, USA. So this happened actually in February, but I don't know why I'm only hearing about this recently, like literally only about a week or so ago.
Shit's going down, mate. Like left, right.
I was like 2 or 3 weeks late to this news. Anyway. So for 25 years, Reverend Andreas Arango poured the holy water and said all the words during the baptisms he performed. Father Arango would say, "We baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." But Father Arango misstated one word, "we baptize." This should have been "I baptize."
Because I'm assuming his other personalities he was referring to when he said we were also ordained ministers in the state of Phoenix, Arizona, right? No.
This is just how he was taught. I'll get to it, okay? So when you say "we baptize," the "we" refers to the community.
Oh.
The reason he has to say "I baptize" is because he is referring to "I," as in Jesus Christ, baptized you.
Oh,
yes.
Right.
So getting that word wrong nullified all the rituals he performed. So that rendered the rite invalid for thousands. We're talking 25 years of people.
Oh, my God. And some of them would have died. And, that's a big deal for those people.
Yeah. That means none of them are Catholic. None of them can get into heaven.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and that is according to Bishop Thomas Olmsted of the Diocese of Phoenix.
Oh,
such long names, I know. But, this gets better. So Bishop Thomas Olmsted, right, the diocese, he found after further investigation, because this was huge, this went all the way to Rome, and the baptism performed on Father Arango when he was a child was also invalid because the reverend at the time used the word "we."
How deep does the well go on this, Bianca?
Not actual Catholics.
Right?
Because
surely part of your criteria, I suppose you would call it, to become a priest would be that you are baptized?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
There are literally thousands upon thousands of people because I couldn't find how long the priest, the reverend, was performing baptisms before Father Arango. So the one that performed baptisms on him, how many he got wrong, how many years he was doing it. So it's just, oh, wow, that well is deep. I love it. I think it's hilarious.
Details are important.
Yes. This is, I think maybe it's just one of those moments that check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Right.
Ice cube, maybe write it down. Does it look right? Practice in front of your ice cube mirror.
Just read it out of the original source text. Do not paraphrase. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Wow. I think that's very important. I mean, don't paraphrase like we paraphrase. Like, yeah. And poor Father Arango is no longer Father Arango. He retired because he feels so bad. And obviously he cannot perform any duties anymore because he's not Catholic. Yeah. I don't know. Hey, I feel really sorry for him. Like, how do you pick your life up after that?
I feel like retiring in Miami or Cuba or something like that will fix that shit right up, or would for me, but yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
A big drink with a cute umbrella in it, that would fix all my problems. So I think he's of the same ilk, though.
Being his last name is Arango, just start wearing a hat, paint yourself green, hide in the desert. Become Arango.
Yeah.
Yeah, drop the A. You're now Arango.
No, because he's a singular Rango, so he is still a Rango, right?
Oh, yes, right.
See, a details Rango. Are important.
Yep. And he can't be the Rango because that's Johnny Depp.
And there could be many Rangos, so that's ooh, not right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yes, that was my fun story. I just loved it. I couldn't believe it when I found that out. I was like, what, you got to be kidding me.
And you know,
fun story like, about the Catholic Church, it didn't involve children, kind of.
Well, not in the scary way anyway. Yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe not getting into heaven's kind of scary, but the rapey priests are worse, I feel. So yeah,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So wow. Amy, do you wanna bring on your heaviness that I may just try to shut my mouth, but I may not.
Oh, okay. I was tasked this week to take on another heavy topic, and I, even though the situation is still ongoing, I decided to cover it anyway because it is something that we feel at Friday Night Wine Flight AMB Edition is important and people should understand what this is about and why we should fucking care. So here we go. Yep. I'm going to cover Russia's invasion of the Ukraine. So I broke it down so that our youngest of listeners, all you Gen Zs, listen up. This shit's going down. Listen to me. This is what's happening. And I'm going to try and break it down so it's real easy for you to understand. What, when, how, why, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so what? In case you've been living under a rock, Russia has invaded the Ukraine. And there is TikToks about it. So Gen Z, you should know about it.
Yeah. I've been showing you those TikToks.
Yes.
Oh my God. How amazing was that UN press conference and they all just walked out peacefully.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. So yeah, this could be a flash in the pan situation, or it could be the start of something that, I mean, we'll be telling generations about after us. This will be in history books. This will be big shit. We don't know. So we're currently in the midst of it. So, yeah. So when did this start happening? Okay, so on the 24th of February 2022, Russian President Vladimir Putin announced that he had ordered a special military operation in the Ukraine. Despite the vague description, we all knew exactly what that meant. Russia had begun its invasion of the Ukraine. Why? Fucking why? Mm-hmm. This is the biggest question on everybody's lips. Why? Well, there's lots of theories, and we don't really know the real reason other than President Putin is a fucking dick. And he said that it was considerable security concerns. Sorry, mate, no one's buying that. You're just a cunt, and you think Russia still rules over the countries who declared themselves independent after the fall of the USSR. You don't know what that is? Google it. I had to. Yeah, now I understand it. So, yeah. So, deja vu. Does this sound kind of familiar? Was it a fever dream? Have they done this before? Like, what's the deal here? Okay, so Russia invaded the Crimea coast area of the Ukraine in 2014, leading it to no longer be considered part of the Ukraine. Russia also invaded Georgia in 2008, although the conflict was settled pretty quickly and it ended after 5 days. So, yes, Ukraine and Russia once formed part of the USSR.
Yes, and I have a tidbit about the whole Crimea thing, right? So Crimea was a part of Russia from like 1783, and that was when the Russians fought the Ottomans. Yes, they fought some furniture, and they won. Oh, amazing.
I have fought many pieces of furniture, and I've always come off second best. Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah, right? And so they annexed this area from 1783 until, get this, 1954. Not that long ago.
Right.
And then they gave it as, so 1954, the Russians went, oh, we're not being very nice to the Ukraine. Here, have Crimea. We're sorry. Can we be friends? And all this came out in a newspaper, right? The whole transcripts. Apparently, it was part of the transcripts. But then funnier, when the Cold War, like, sort of dissipated, and we're talking 1992, all of the transcripts came out, and Russia was like, yeah, so we kept all this hidden. This is what happened. Turns out, identical to what came out in 1954, not word for word. There was nothing changed. So they were thinking they were keeping everything hidden, when really no, it was all out there anyway. So that was a bit weird. So yeah, it's quite a funny thing. It's Crimea stuff, and there's no, like, even if you read the transcripts, not that I'm going to, I was like, nah. It's there's actually from what I've read, there's not much in there. It's basically, we just wanted to be friends with the Ukraine, so we gave them some land that we took in like 1700s. So yeah, I just
The dissipation of the USSR is rich in history and full of fun tidbits, as Bianca has just described, and I recommend everybody to go down the rabbit hole and learn some shit about Europe. We are in Australia. We don't necessarily get all of that European history. I mean, it depends on subjects you do at school.
Yeah.
But, like, all of that is just stuff I've picked up along the way, and then I fell in this rabbit hole when I was doing research for this topic. So, yeah, a lot of this stuff was new to me. So, yeah, educate yourselves, guys. Just, check it out.
One other thing I do know about, well, I was told about Crimea. I haven't gone down the rabbit hole to find out if this is actually true, and I'll ask you whether you know. But apparently Crimea, like, recently, we're talking recent history, that when Russia gave it back to them, but then Crimea was like, no, we still want to be a part of Russia. So the Ukraine got kind of mad and blocked up their major dam. So effectively taking away Crimea's water supply. They get about 2 hours water a day. There's no agriculture because they don't have a major water supply. They're basically starving the people out. And that's apparently one of the reasons why Russia's going in, because they're like, we gave you back Crimea. What are you doing to them?
Yeah, this is common. One of the reasons that is floating around Russia, apparently, I'll explain to you my skepticism of the media later on in my segment. However, one of the things that I understand is that Putin has been telling Russia that there has been acts of genocide going on in the Ukraine. As far as anybody on the Western side of things understands or has seen, this is not happening. I'm not going to say it's not happening, because we don't know. I'm not there.
Well,
are you there?
I got this information from my coworker who's Serbian and has Ukrainian friends. And he was like, look, this is what you're not being told. This is what's happening. This is why they're in Australia. And I'm like, oh, wow. It's like, yeah, they would rather be part of Russia. And I'm like, okay, cool. It's still not cool what Putin's doing, and I don't like it. Yeah, but, you know, he could just take Ukraine. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, I'll get into why we should we should care about that.
Okay.
So why should we care about that? Well, because with war comes a large death toll and an injury number. The toll of war takes on, the toll war takes on those affected is a lot. Put simply, I shouldn't have to be telling anybody this, but I'm going to do it anyway. We should actively give a shit about the suffering of others.
What?
Yeah. No. It shouldn't be a revelation to people I know, but guys, everyone out there, we should actively take a shit about people's suffering. We should actually give a shit. Sorry, not take a shit. We should actually give a shit about other people's suffering. That's a thing. Yeah.
Yes.
Why else should we care about it, Amy? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Well, because propaganda is still an issue. What?
Yeah.
Why? What we hear in Australia is different to what the Russians are being told. How does this happen? Who's right? I don't know. That there's no way to know because I'm not there. I'm here, but I don't control the press. So in the age of the internet and cameras on phones and stuff like that, the information we consume is still filtered and controlled by others. The ability to control the narrative is key in convincing people to follow you. I know I sound like a part of the Tinfoil Hat Brigade at the moment, but I'm just saying propaganda is still an issue. It's still a massive issue.
But that's the other thing my coworker was saying. Like, you can't believe it. You just cannot. You need to speak to the people. I'm like, how do I speak to the people if I can't, you know?
I'm not there. Like, I don't know. And the people that are there are also being told something that could be completely wrong. We don't know. I'm seeing a lot of footage of supposed Russian soldiers who are surrendering to the Ukrainians, and the Ukrainians apparently are being very nice to them. They're like feeding them, putting blankets on them, and like, are you okay? Apparently, the Ukrainian president has put out a call to Russian mothers and wives. If you would like, if we put up a photo of your son who is either being captured or is surrendered, you are welcome to walk across the border and come get him. We will let you because we don't want them here, but we don't want to kill them because we're not assholes.
I love that.
Do we know that that's real?
Yeah.
Do we know that those people are not do we know that they're Russians even?
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you know what a Russian accent sounds like next to a Ukrainian accent?
Oh, God, no. Nope.
I have no fucking idea. So I'm just saying, look, it sounds like as far as the side that Australia has taken in the conflict, we're on the right side of things. Like, I feel morally okay with what's going on. It's just that I'm just saying that we don't know. And it's just really sad that propaganda played such a big part in World War II. And when you study World War II, or particularly in Australia, there's a whole section about propaganda and how Hitler was telling his people one thing and then the rest of the world was hearing something else.
Mm-hmm. It's the same in China.
It is. It's the same in lots of places. And the thing is that I just can't understand with all the technology and stuff like that we have, like live feeds of things. I mean, I can live feed myself right now doing this podcast. And still propaganda is a problem. The person who controls the narrative controls the war. To me, I thought we were past this, but apparently we're not. So, the next reason why you should care about this is because history tells us that power-hungry dictators don't just stop.
No,
they don't just get to the fence and go, ooh, we've come as far as we can go, let's go back. They don't.
Yeah, they don't, because the grass is always greener.
Because they just want more and more and more and more.
Yep.
So the potential for President Putin to become the next Hitler is concerning, to say the least.
Yes.
It's a little concerning that this could happen.
Yes.
So history also tells us that when the whole world is watching this go down, other power-hungry leaders start to spark up. While all eyes are on the Ukraine, countries who have been on the border of ordering their own invasions might just decide, well, they can't stop all of this, and just start marching over borders into territory that is not theirs. This happened in World War II. So it definitely could happen, and it's a little scary to think that there are some countries, I'm not naming names because they haven't done anything wrong, well, too wrong yet, could just potentially go, well, if they're sparking up, we're going to spark up too, because, like I said, they can't stop all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just mildly terrifying. Yeah. And lastly, why should we care about this? Because anybody with nuclear weapons is fucking scary. Russia has the most amount of nuclear weapons that one single country has. So they have loads. And Belarus is their only friend. Belarus is their only friend. And Belarus has currently got a non-nuclear treaty or something along those lines. They just don't have nuclear weapons. It's an agreement. Yeah, they're thinking about throwing that in the bin. It might just mean that what they're doing is they won't have any, but maybe Putin will give them to them and they'll fire them over the fence because they border the Ukraine too.
Yeah.
They could fire them over many of the fences that they border. We don't know. This is, I'm just saying, nuclear weapons, they're fucking scary. People who have them, also fucking scary. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, the next thing.
And like, as of today, speaking of nuclear, good segue. Yeah, as of today's date, which is the 4th of March, Russia just took over Europe's largest nuclear power plant.
They set it on fire.
Yeah, and they set it on fire. They put the fire out. There's no radiation, so they've taken it.
Yeah, because what happened?
It's like, cool. Okay.
Because they set it on fire. Yeah. And they went, and the Ukrainians went, fuck, stop the war. Let us put the fire out. So that's what happened. There was a bit of a ceasefire or something along those lines. And they ran in, and then they put it out. But the Russians were waiting for that to happen, and then they stormed it, and now they've got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's...
Dick move.
Oh, it's fucked. Anyway, so the next thing. Is anyone doing anything about this, or are we all just standing around with our hands up our ass? Like, what are we doing? What are people doing? Okay, so many countries have voiced their support. Tick, that's the first step. Good, okay. Russia has been kicked out of all the major sporting events, pretty much, and Eurovision, which I think is a big slap because, you know what, they usually bring a pretty good game to Eurovision, so I feel like that will hurt them. Tongue-in-cheek, of course, this is supposed to be a serious segment. Many countries have implemented sanctions, both physical and economic, costing Russia and its people fuckloads of money. Fuckloads.
Yes. Yes, but they can gain money if they stop, right? So do you know of Anonymous?
Yes.
So Anonymous has offered Russia 50,000 bitcoins, 50,000 worth of bitcoin per tank to turn around and fuck back off.
Yeah.
Per tank, just fuck it off. Yeah. And, they won't take it.
And it's funny how there's so many Russian billionaires that don't live in Russia. They're not fleeing anywhere. There are so many that live everywhere else. So the problem is that, like, a lot of the economic sanctions that are put in place at the moment are affecting all these Russian billionaires. There's actually loads of them. I didn't realize just how rich some of these people are because the poor people in Russia are so poor.
You got to remember the czars were huge. Like, that whole kingdom, sort of the majesty of it, it was big. It did dissolve.
Yeah, but they're supposed to be communists. They're supposed to be communists, where everybody should be on an even playing field. Yeah, well, that doesn't fucking work.
It doesn't work. No. See?
No.
Theory, practice. No.
Yes. So all these Russian billionaires have to do is defect to wherever they're currently living. No one's sending them back because they've got fuckloads of money. No one's sending them back to Russia. They're keeping them. They're going, oh, you poor darling. Yeah, you can stay here. It's fine. They're not actually going to send these people home. So I wonder how that works. But then again, my understanding of the Russian economy is pretty much next to nothing. So, look, I don't know. We will see. Obviously, people who know about these things decided that this was a good idea. So I'm just going to go with that and go, okay, if you think that's going to help, cool. Let's do that. Yeah. Many countries have also pledged to supply weapons to help the Ukrainians fight back. However, in terms of sending troops, no. The Czech Republic have today come out in the press and they've come the closest to sending troops. They have said today that they will not prosecute their own citizens for running off and joining the Ukrainians against Russians. They'll do it if they run off to Russia, but they will not do it if they run off to the Ukraine.
Okay.
Now, in most parts of the world, 95% of the world has laws that prevent their citizens running off and joining other people's wars, because we can't do that. You don't have the autonomy to decide, I'm going to go and fight for the Ukraine. I think this shit's fucked. I'm going to go help. No, you're not allowed to do that. We have to do it as a group, or no one's doing it. That's how it works. Yeah. So at this point, the countries that make up NATO will not defend the Ukraine unless the Ukraine is a member of NATO, which they're not. Similar story with the European Union. Although this is one of the reasons why people think Russia has invaded. Joining either or both of these institutions will westernize the Ukraine on the world stage more, and they and the Ukraine are actually actively trying to get into both of these organizations.
Yeah.
Given they are a quite big neighbor of Russia, the Russians don't like it because they don't like the Westerners being on their doorstep. They don't like it.
Yeah, it's funny. One of my daughter's friends, we were talking about this and the situation, and it was evolving. This was like last week, and he's like, where is the Ukraine? He pulled up a world map and went, wow, that's huge. I'm like, yes.
It's big. It's big. In Eastern Europe, it's big. It's a big place. So, Russians don't like the Westerners being at the door. And hence, they have said they have security concerns. For that, I say fuck off. Nearly all of Europe is on the back step of Russia. So if the countries that make up NATO or the EU want to come in and take over Russia, there is nothing the Russians can do about it. Doing shit like invading a former associate and a neighbor like the Ukraine just increases the chances of these institutions banding together and deciding Russia's a threat and kicking their doors in.
Yeah.
That's what's going to get you invaded. I don't understand what they're thinking. No one is coming to Russia's defense except for Belarus. So if NATO or the EU decide to shut Russia down, they can. They haven't yet.
Yeah, that's right.
So this is where this sort of comes in. Let's just see where they go with this, because we don't know. Okay, so how is this different to the other conflicts Australians have been involved in? Because, I mean, if you were young when the Iraq Wars 2 that we've been involved in happened, or Afghanistan or anything along those lines, you'll think to yourself, okay, well, if we could go to Afghanistan, why can't we go to the Ukraine? Okay, so with conflicts we have been involved in more recently, we didn't start the fight. We didn't start the fire. we didn't start it.
So it's finished. Well, it's pretending. Yeah. All I think of is The Office. Ryan started the fire.
Look, for us, it's usually the US that starts the fire, and then we just jump in after them. Yeah. So countries we have defense agreements with have gotten involved in fights with other countries, and we've just followed them into war because that's the agreement. But why would we do that? Why would we send our own people off to a war that we didn't start or we have little to no fucking interest in? Because those agreements mean that those countries have to come fight for us if we're ever invaded or we decide to pick a fight. So, yes, we do, because we're a big fuck-off island in the middle of fucking nowhere, and we are a huge target. We have all these resources. We have a fuck-all population compared to a lot of countries in the world. And we've got a lot going for us. We are a very lucky country. We are doing so well. We fared very well during the pandemic. I mean, we're still faring well. I mean, you can ask the Tinfoil Hat Brigade if it was well handled, and they'll tell you no. But you know what? You know what? It hasn't been as bad as other places.
The fatality count says it all, to be quite honest.
Absolutely, we'll say that for sure, that I still feel like we did okay and we're still doing okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, yeah, sometimes when our partners kick off against someone else and we sit at the same table as them, the enemy country declares war on Australia as well. So then it's game on, mofo. So it's like you go to a pub and your drunk shit mate starts a fight with someone and you think, oh, all right, I'll go and get him. So you go over there to pull his stupid ass out, and then the person who he's fighting picks a fight with you. And then you're like, oh, game on, motherfucker. And then you get into the fight. That's what happens with us.
Yes, it has happened. It happened at Walkabout when you, me, and your cousin went. And, yeah, that guy stole my lanyard, and I was like, really, stole my lanyard? And you're like, right, I'm getting it back.
And I did.
Yeah.
Look, let's just put it out there. He was going to fight me.
Yeah.
And my cousin stepped in and went, oh, well, I wouldn't do that if I were you. And then his mate stepped in and apologized to me and said, I'm sorry, he's just the shit, mate. We can't take him anywhere. And then, yeah, and then they yelled at him. So sometimes it doesn't end as peacefully as that when, you know, your drunk fighting mate gets involved. When I'm your drunk fighting mate, that is how it ends, because don't fuck with me and I've got it written on my face. So, yeah. Anyway, off topic. So with no defense agreements, the poor Ukraine is left on their own. None of our friends are getting involved and they're not sending troops. So I could go on and on about how I feel about this position, but I won't. Let's just say I'm on the fence. I feel for the Ukrainians right now. And I also feel really bad for the soldiers who reportedly had no idea what they were doing and they just got dumped there. There is lots of stories going around at the moment. I don't know if they're fabricated. I'm not going to make much more of a comment other than there's young kids, and I say kids because they're like early 20s, like Hayes's age, crying, going, I didn't know what we were doing. We got rounded up, thrown in a tank, and then 2 weeks later I'm here and I'm starving and I don't even know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah.
Look, that could have been something they were told to say so that they don't get shot. I don't know. I don't know how real that is.
I don't know. I've been hearing that too. It was like a whole platoon. It was hundreds. And they got like just across the border into the Ukraine and were like, oh, wow, we're out of food and out of fuel. Yeah. And so there's probably two things that you kind of need if you're going into war, food and fuel. I'm like, I feel like Putin's just the dinosaur for Meet the Robinsons. I don't know how well this plan has fall through.
And then there's like the like, not generals, but like people who've been in the military for Russia for quite some time. They know the score. They know why they're there. And they're ordering a tank around, and then they're getting calls from their higher ups saying, blow up that town. And they're like, so no, basically how war works is I will take down infrastructure. I will take down buildings that should be empty. So like, you know, skyscrapers and stuff like that when they know we're coming, so no one should be there. I will take that shit down. But I'm not going to fire on people in their homes. That's wrong. It's a war crime. Technically, a war crime.
Yes.
And they're marching the 20-year-olds out of the tank saying, no, we're not doing this, and they're handing themselves in because they're saying, no, this is not how this is supposed to go. And the 20-year-olds are checking their TikTok going, what? We're doing what now? I'm hungry. My mum said you have to feed me. So.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm hearing too.
But we don't know.
Yeah.
Propaganda is such a problem.
Yeah.
So, anyway. That is the AMB edition of what the fuck is happening in the Ukraine right now. So let's kick off to some more fun stuff.
Yes.
Let's talk about Eurovision.
Yes. I love this. I'm so excited for Eurovision because we will do a Eurovision episode. And
it'll be which means
Sarah will come back for this. Absolutely. She loves Eurovision.
Yeah. See, it feels a bit wrong to talk about Eurovision. Like, I feel like I'm like a Christian talking about like Judaism. It's wrong. I don't know anything about it. And I'm just getting on board right now just because I've got something to do. So, yeah. I feel bad. I feel like Sarah should be here and correcting me constantly because I'm saying the wrong things. But she's not. So fuck you, bitch. If you're listening, come back and correct me. Yeah. Okay. So Eurovision. All right. Eurovision. For those who have no idea what Eurovision is, listen up. The contest was first held on the 24th of May in 1956. It was based on Italy's San Remo Music Festival. Originally, it was designed to test the limits of live TV technology. This is straight off the Eurovision website, by the way. I didn't write this. The first competition had seven nations who participated, and participants sang a popular song from the radio with a live band. So it was like real life karaoke in Europe for funsies on TV. We would have smashed the shit out of this. This would have been
you and me, arm in arm, too many drinks, creep.
Done. Oh, horses.
Oh, do you know what? Hero. to Sorry. Be with you. Oh my god, no, we're done. That's it. I'm out. I've got to go to Eurovision right now.
There's so many trains. We could have just dumped out and we would have won Eurovision back in the day. But absolutely. Anyway, here we are. We were not born yet. In fact, well, one of my parents was born, the other one was not. So, yeah, no one was born at the time, so there was no way for us to do this. But if we ever get that time machine we've been talking about building, this is where we're going. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So in 2022, there are, okay, let's say this properly, 41 countries. Oh, wait, Russia's gone. Oh, wait, 40 countries participating. Bye, Russia. One down, 39 to go. Oh, okay, yeah. Australia, let's do this. Right. So we are participating. How we got there, no one knows. This is just like when you go out and you find a bunch of new friends and they're like, let's go do laser hunt. You're like, okay. And the next thing you know, you're shooting a bunch of people in the dark, running around with lasers everywhere, and everything's lighting up and you're having so much fun, but you don't know how you got there. Yeah. That's us at Eurovision. There is a long, boring history about how we got in there, but it's boring. And, yeah, we're not part of Europe, so we just got invited and now we're there. You can't get rid of us because we love chains. Yeah, so this year, Australia will be represented by a singer by the name of Sheldon Riley, singing an original song titled We Are Not the Same, which he co-wrote. I'd never heard of this guy before.
Neither.
I listened to the song, and Riley's voice is really quite good, and the song is very powerful.
Oh, my God, yes. Yeah. I listened to it at the start of before we started recording, because although Amy had me well prepared and sent it to me with plenty of time, I still asked about, so, yeah.
But it was anyway, fine.
Yeah.
It was fine. We got there. And, yeah.
And it's amazing. Oh, my God.
Right? I thought it was good. So, yes. We didn't attend the event, which some of our friends in the podcasting world, Hey Stupid Bees, They attended. So get out there and listen to their podcast about it when it comes out. I know that they're going to have a Eurovision special, I think. So, yeah, listen to what they've got to say about it too.
Yeah, one of them loved it. One of them liked it, but still wanted someone else to win. That's what I got from Instagram.
pretty much dead on.
Yes, so, I am stalking you, maybe.
Yeah. So, we didn't attend the event that happened on the Gold Coast in Queensland. Riley was selected to represent Australia after, of course, we decided to make a bit of a spectacle of the selection process by hosting a contest of our own to decide the winner titled Eurovision Australia Decides, which nearly was a fucking swimming contest. It nearly was. With all the flooding.
So many people are stuck at the airport.
Yeah, we're so stuck. I'm still so stuck. Yeah. Oh, God. Anyway, I dare say Sheldon Riley is going to absolutely smash it out of the park.
Yes.
Can't wait to see it all.
I can't wait to see if he has another face chandelier. Oh. Like, is there different colored ones? Is there, oh, my God, I need another face chandelier. That is what I'm calling it.
I feel like we've already been through this, though, with all the crazy shit that Sia used to do. Remember when Sia was, like, covering half her face? Yeah. That was weird. And so I'm interested to see where he goes with all of this, because it is very much a, what would you call it, gender neutral performance. He's got lots of beautiful elements going on, beautiful costume, facial stuff going on. It's just hair, makeup, everything, like, amazing. Yeah.
Is it a person? You don't know. You can't see if it's really, like, if it even is a guy or a girl.
Or a mongoose. Very androgynous. Yeah. It could be a mongoose. We don't know.
Could be a lizard duck. Everybody be scared.
Could be Sarah. Cool. We didn't think about this.
This is why she's on a break.
This is why she's on a break, is because she's dressed as this dude and now she's in Eurovision.
Yeah.
We're going to have to shake her down. Stay tuned, listeners. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
It might be Sarah. We don't know.
It could be. That's a good excuse as to why she's gone.
Because, well, actually, it would have been better.
It explains it to us better. Like,
yes, but she's left us with a little bit of open ending. Like, why is she gone? Did we do something? Is she needing a break? What's going on with her? We should ask her questions. We need to schedule a time to talk to her regularly and harass her about her life. If she just had have said, I'm going to Eurovision, we would have laughed and left her alone, because we never would have believed it.
Exactly.
She could have just said that. Anyway. To you. Fair on to you. And we're coming. We're coming. Yeah.
Shake you down.
Anyway. Yeah. So, coming off the back of all of that stuff, we were having a bit of a meeting about how we're going to present this. And I was scrolling through the news and I went, hey, did you know this happened? We didn't.
We just literally disbelief sounds to each other for some time.
What? And then just trying to rack my brain.
Yeah.
Did I miss this? So the next segment of this train wreck is, should we miss? Bianca, take it away.
And so if the bat is, it may not be a shock to you, to our listeners, right? To you guys, this might not be a shock, but we literally learnt this last week. Bill Paxton is dead. Yeah, but not only
is he dead. What the fuck did that happen?
It happened in early 2017. I actually got the rundown of what happened. Thank you, Wikipedia. So in early 2017.
Didn't know this. Yeah.
Well, I don't even know how. Like, why and how? And I swear he was still acting. Like, he has been in movies, but he has not.
I swear.
Yeah, I know. I like Bill Paxton. How did I not know this?
Yeah. And then I would have had so many quips. Like, you know, the line he says from, was it Aliens 3? He's like, game over, man. Game over. I would have been saying that all the time. And I missed it.
Yeah.
I'm so upset. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah. So, yes. Yeah. So, like, early 2017, right? So, yeah, Paxton stated, swine's good, stated in an interview on WTF with Mark Maron that he had a damaged aortic heart valve resulting from rheumatic fever, which he contracted at the age of 13.
Common stuff, actually, for someone his age, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So on February 14th, he underwent open heart surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles to repair the damaged valve and correct an aortic aneurysm. Day later, he underwent an emergency second surgery to repair the damaged coronary artery. His condition deteriorated over the following 10 days until he suffered a fatal stroke on the February 25th and died at the age of 61. So a year later after his death, his family actually filed for wrongful death, which that doesn't really happen in Australia. This is more sort of an American thing. So
it does. Like, it exists in our law, but it's one of those things that's real hard.
Yeah, it's real hard. So what they basically want to do is they've filed the lawsuit against Ali, I'm going to say his name so wrong, Konezhad. I don't know. That's really not how you say his name. Anyway, he's the surgeon who performed the operation, right? So they're alleging alleging that Ali used high risk and unconventional methods. How would they know? So they also said that he was not present in the operating room when Paxton began suffering the complications. Like he'd gone somewhere. He fucked off. I don't know. So the complication he suffered while this head surgeon wasn't there was ventricular dysfunction, tachycardia, and a compromised right coronary artery, which they claim contributed to the coronary artery damage that necessitated the second surgery, which ultimately led to his death. So it sounds convoluted, right? But in February 2022, Paxton's family actually reached a partial settlement with the General Anesthesia Specialist Partnership, and they got $1 million. The case is actually set for trial in Los Angeles Superior Court this month.
Wow.
Yeah. So they've got a partial settlement and they're still going to court. So, yeah, that's real bizarre. I had no idea it happened. And there's a court case and I'll try and remember that this happened and then follow up next month. Yeah. Can't promise anything. I make no promise. But this led me down a bit of a rabbit hole as to other celebrities that I had no idea died. So I started Googling celebrities who had died, and Sean Penn's younger brother, Chris. What? No idea.
It's the dude from Footloose.
Yes. Yes.
How did you not know that?
No idea.
I knew that.
It's 2006. I was very busy. Yeah, and he was like Reservoir Dogs as well. That was the other one he was in. Yeah. Harold Ramis? Ramis?
Ramis.
Ramis. Ghostbusters. No idea. 2014. No idea. He was alive.
Can I give you a fun tidbit about that one? I saw this in a Netflix doco. So he did Ghostbusters and he did, I think, Caddyshack as well. Yes, he did.
Yep.
Yeah, he's done a few with Bill Murray, but famously Groundhog Day. Famously, they had a bit of a falling out in the later years. And so when he got sick, Bill Murray was actually not speaking to him at the time. Bill Murray got wind of the fact that he was not well and decided to go visit him. But in true Bill Murray fashion, he didn't know where he lived. He didn't know phone numbers of anybody who would have any idea. So what he did was he knew the town that Harold Ramis was living in and where he was supposedly going downhill real quick. So he went to the local police station and he said, "I'm Bill Murray. Where's Harold Ramis's house?" And they took him there.
Oh, my God. Of course they did. Who would deny Bill Murray? He's Bill Murray. I love him.
I don't think
I would take him anywhere.
Right? Get in the car. Let's go. Where do you want to go? I'm in. But, like, I don't think anybody would have questioned the fact that he's Bill Murray. I don't think anyone would have asked for a driver's license because who the fuck else rolls up to a police station and says, "I'm Bill Murray. Take me to Harold Ramis's house." Nobody. Yeah. No. So that's what happened, and so they got to make peace before he died.
Yeah. Oh, that's actually really cute.
Yeah.
So, my next one was Michael Clark Duncan, the big dude from The Green Mile. No idea.
2012. How did you miss this?
Yeah, 2012, mate. We were partying hard that year.
I knew this. And did you know that he was bodyguard for, what's his name, the rapper Biggie Smalls?
Oh, really? No idea.
He was his bodyguard. And the night the Biggie Smalls got shot, he took the night off and he got one of his mates to cover for him. And he said famously in an interview that had he worked that night, he also would have died at the same time because he never let any of his charges get without outside of an arm hold from him. Never let it happen. So he would have been shot up in that car as well, where his mate was actually riding in the car in front.
Ooh.
So, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, he lived with a lot of guilt about that, apparently.
My next one is James Rebhorn, the Secretary of Defense in Independence Day. Oh my gosh.
When did he die?
2014.
Where the fuck was I?
Yeah, where the fuck was I? Another. Oh my god. So this one's blown my mind. Really blown my mind. Brad Renfro. I can't believe I didn't talk about him in the Heartthrobs of the 90s app because, oh boy, did I love Brad Renfro. Died in 2008. I thought he was just laying low somewhere out in Hollywood, just fucking stopped acting, out of the spotlight. Just
oh, no, I knew he died. Yes, I think he tried to make a comeback just before that. And, yeah, no.
Yeah, yeah, it was, yeah, drugs. I'm like, oh, cool. Yep. Oh, pull hottie up in heaven. Too many hotties.
Oh, there's too many hotties up there. It's all right, boys, I'm coming for you.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was just Bianca's like just dropped the ball. I'm usually on these things. I'm usually the first one in the chat. Hey, Blind Bar's dead.
Yeah.
And then it happened so often in 2020 that Sarah specifically stopped killing people off.
Yeah.
It wasn't me. I'm not killing them. I'm just telling you what happens.
Yeah, and then she took it out on you like you were doing something personal.
Yeah. No, I don't know how I missed these. I have no idea. Sometimes my head is up my ass. Sometimes, most of the time, my head is up my ass.
Every now and then, little slithers of gold pop up there, though.
Yeah.
And you have some interesting stuff to tell us that we would never have ever picked up unless you were around. So, yeah.
Fuck. Yeah, so that's just shit I missed.
Can I throw out something that, let's call it Amy dismissed opposed to we missed? A few weeks ago, Sarah came to the table with, did you hear they're cancelling Neighbours?
For those who don't know, and I said, yes.
For those who don't know, Neighbours was a popular television soap program, much like a Days of Our Lives, something along those lines, that has been running for 37 years in Australia. Yeah, I used to live across the highway from where they film outside when I was in my early 20s, and so many times I had to talk down an army of drunk people who just wanted to walk from my house across the road to harass the neighbor's street. Yes, and I had to talk them down every damn time. Yeah. So, Sarah's been cancelled. And from my understanding, the BBC cancelled it. They didn't want to buy us anymore because we're not interesting to English people anymore. Cool. But it wasn't being cancelled. It turns out it's been cancelled. So I dismissed it way too early. Yeah, it's been cancelled. Yep. Bye, Neighbours. Bye. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was official, like, the Channel 10 Twitter, put a thing out. And then I didn't see that particular one, but I saw Dan McPherson, who is an actor on it. Yeah, he retweeted it. And I was like, yep, it's official.
If I can find the photo of me and Dan McPherson, I will put it up on the blog for people. Yeah.
He was one of the guys in the, if you find the post of the pictures on my scrapbook, there's like a lineup. He's one of the guys in that. That's, yep.
He was hot, y'all. He still is hot, y'all, actually. Yeah. Hit us up. We're in. Okay. Can I talk about some other shit that we missed? Although we sort of missed it, but we were sort of onto it. Yeah. So Kanye's not okay. Did you know about this?
No, not really. I haven't really been keeping up with Kanye, but I know, like, just snippets of what Kimmy's doing. But anyway, tell me what. So he turned himself into a symbol like Prince.
Oh, yeah. And then he was like, it's all a bit bizarre. I have not watched the doco on Netflix yet. I've had a friend at work who said to me that they tried real hard to watch it and then they gave up halfway through because it was hard. And I went, okay. Maybe when I've had way too much wine, I might give it a crack. I'll see how we go.
Maybe after this recording. Okay.
Maybe. I don't know.
I have a watch party. Yeah.
I still have so much Pam and Tommy that I'm so excited for that I don't know when I'll get to Kanye. So we'll wait and see. So Kanye's not okay. Yes, it's real not okay. So if you're listening to this segment expecting the most up-to-date gossip on Kanye, then you're going to be real disappointed. Sarah mentioned on a previous episode that she's only just found out that Kim and Kanye are not together. And although I'm not that far behind the situation, I don't profess to be completely up to date either. So, yeah, a further disclaimer, I'm focusing on Kanye specifically, as the title of my segment says, Kanye's not okay. I'm not focusing on Kim Kardashian and Kanye's divorce, although it does get a mention. So, what is going on here? Okay, so, bit of background. So, musician Kanye West has recently separated and become divorced from his ex-wife, Kim Kardashian. If you don't know who either of these people are, just stop listening to this because it's going to be boring and bullshit. Okay. So, Kanye is well known for his mental health issues, and we are used to just seeing him do some real weird shit. We're so used to it now. Like, it's fine. Yeah, Kanye, you be you, mate. You just go do your weird shit. It's fine. Yeah, we're okay with it. So we've seen it before, and before his marriage to Kim and during his marriage to Kim. So when their relationship broke down, no one was surprised. No one was surprised to hear that Kanye was doing crazy shit after their relationship broke up either. No one was surprised. Kanye batshit. It's the same thing. However, the behavior he has been exhibiting is not a joke. And because we're so used to seeing Kanye doing weird shit, we're starting to fall into the trap of dismissing what he's saying and doing as just crazy Kanye shit. Yeah, it's not okay. Again, Kanye is not okay. It's not funny. It's seriously not funny. He's made threats against a host of people, although most of his rants, etc., are directed at his ex-wife's new boyfriend, comedian Pete Davidson. Okay, I want to make something real clear here. People are not property. Your partner, your ex-partner, your kids, your family, your friends are not yours to control. If they choose to act in a way that you don't like, bad fucking luck. You can't control the actions of others, so you have to find a way to cope with life in the aftermath of whatever they have done. It's not always fair, and there'll be times where their actions hurt you, physically, emotionally, financially, whatever. It doesn't give you the right to threaten people or cause them any harm. I'm sorry, it just doesn't. I don't care what's been done to you. You don't get to put that back out into the world. It's wrong. Stop it. It's not funny, and we're also used to just laughing at him. It's not funny. I appreciate that when an intimate partner decides to leave, especially when you are not on board, it's traumatic. It really is. If you don't want things to end, it's hard. It's devastating.
Yeah.
I lived it. Most of us have lived through heartbreak. There's songs written about it, TVs, movies, like you name it. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have lived this. It's not just you. However, your pain is not an excuse for how you treat others. You may feel this uncontrollable rage or even disgust when you think about or look at your ex's new partner. I completely understand. Sometimes it's just something that boils inside of you and you cannot control it. I fully get it. It's not an excuse to harass them, though. If you've got kids, for the love of Buddha, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Kids getting caught in the crossfire of adult bullshit.
Yeah, it's wrong. It's so wrong.
Just fucking stop.
Absolutely.
Most of us have gone through phases where we are the crazy ex.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. Vent to your mates or whoever. Just remember, hating someone just because they're dating your ex makes no fucking sense, no matter what your emotions tell you you were feeling at the time. If you can't deal, get help.
Yeah.
Don't do stupid shit. And the more we laugh about this and the more we say, it's just Kanye. Oh, my God. Did you see what Kanye did? We are normalizing psychotic behavior towards ex-partners, and it's not okay.
It's not okay.
We need to be real careful about how we handle this situation as a community, because we are going to undo all of the good work that so many people have put into bringing domestic violence out into the open. No matter what Kanye is going through in terms of his mental health, like, I get that his mental health plays a big part in what is happening with him right now. Like, I get it. He's got legit things that is going on with him.
Mm.
It doesn't excuse his behavior. Kanye.
No.
Kanye. Mate. Mort, get help. It's okay not to be okay, but it's not okay to be a cunt about it.
Amen.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Absolutely. No, well said. Well said.
So I had planned to go in through this. Oh my God. And then who did this? And yeah. The more I looked at this, I went, yeah. No, I don't.
I mean, I love all that stuff, but we can totally talk about it off the podcast.
Because you and I have the understanding of what this actually means. Yeah. We're not normalizing domestic violence.
No.
It's just not okay. And we would the more we get into this and the more we make a spectacle of it, and I've always told listeners on this show that I don't necessarily believe what's in the papers. This all could be part of the Kardashian West freaking public publication promotion sort of wheel. It could be all part of some dramatic effect that they're earning millions out of this. I don't know. The point is that if we're just taking it by face value, what is going on, if that's what's going on, it's not okay. And we can't laugh at it. It's not cool. Because the next thing you know, other people are going to start using this as a defense and thinking that this is okay. And we can't have that. It's not funny. So, yeah, that's my bit. And Kanye, get help, mate. Get help. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, that's us done. That's our episode. That is the A and B episode. A little kind of me, a little kind of B. And you know what? I actually had fun researching this and finding out who was dead. That was surprising. There's a bunch more as well. But I'll leave that for another time because, wow.
We didn't even get into headlines we missed or actual shit that went down. This was just the scratching of the surface.
Yeah, I think shit we missed might actually be a topic by itself. So, yeah, look, I've had fun researching this topic, you know, but we would love, we say this every week, and we are not going to stop saying it just because this is the A and B edition. Send us your topic suggestions. We want to hear from you, listeners. Absolutely. Email us, frontnightwifi@gmail.com. All the socials, all the same. We're not going anywhere. It's at FNWF podcast, which is mostly that, just about everywhere. Yeah, look, we're staying. We're here. Get used to it. Tune in next week for Am I the Asshole? The answer is yes, but it depends.
I'm just seeing Homer Simpson in my head. We're here. We're queer. We don't want any more bears.
Exactly. Stop it. If you have enjoyed this episode, make sure you tell your friends. Have a great night.
Bye.
Bye.